All right, welcome back to the show. Len Martez here with you. Joined as we are every Wednesday by my man, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. What's up, Chris?
Oh, not much, man. Just trying to get through the week as usual.
Busy week for you again?
Fairly busy. We got the preview posted today, so I think we're in the clear now.
We won't get into actually the next game just yet. We'll talk about that on Friday when you come back in on Friday, because we got enough to talk about. Although it was a 1-AA team, we got enough to talk about when we think about the William & Mary game. Nice score, 44-3, 41-0 at halftime. But I won't even discuss the two drives given up to allow two opportunities to score 6 points. We'll talk about that in a little bit just yet, but let's talk about what seems to be lacking, the biggest concern, obviously, with the running game. 3.1 yards per carry. If I sat you down before week one and said at week four that would be the problem, what would you have told me?
I would have called you crazy, man. I would have thought this past Saturday's game would have been the biggest rushing output of the year, simply because their defensive line was so young and so small, and, you know, they're just not a very good 1-AA defensive team. But it obviously did not go as planned on Saturday in the running game.
There were some surprises, and we'll talk about the use of both tailbacks in the game at the same time, which is something that is good to see. The only risk when you do something like that, and I talked about it last segment earlier in the show, if you don't leave any of those guys in there to block on a suspect offensive line, there's no one to chip any of the linemen or linebackers. But beyond that, another solid performance by Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid. I thought the passing game was very vanilla. I didn't see a lot of route variations among the receivers and everything like that, so I don't think they tried to do too much through the air. You know, he showed himself a freshman on three occasions that I saw. One was the near interception that the linebacker
picked. That was the worst pass I've seen him throw since he started playing.
Definitely. He just flat out didn't see the linebacker. You know, he was going for Boone in the back of the end zone. Boone was open if Tyrod had floated it, but you know, he tried to fire in there and didn't see the linebacker. It almost got picked. There were two other occasions where he pulled a Sean Glennon, as I'll call it. He waited too long in the pocket, waiting for somebody to get open, and ended up taking a sack. And he normally doesn't do things like that. He's normally very smart about that, and when nobody's open, he'll get out of there and run. But other than that, you know, I thought it was a solid performance. You know, the thing about starting a true freshman is you're going to get, you know, good performances some days and bad performances other days. And, you know, hopefully Saturday, you know, it was a learning experience for him as far as taking those sacks, I think.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, joined as we are every Wednesday by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar right here on Main Street. 133. Chris, some teams are averaging that number and a half. I mean, you got West Virginia, and granted, they may have who they have running the football and blocking for them, but is there really that much of a difference between those type of teams like West Virginia, those teams that run the football the way they do, like LSU? Is there that much of a difference between what we saw on Saturday and a team that does it right, like 250 yards a game?
Yeah, you know, the thing about those teams are, you know, they have offensive lines that can get to the second level and block, whereas Tech's offensive line is having trouble blocking just the first level.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you might as well forget about getting to the second level. You got to get those defensive linemen blocked first, and right now that's not happening for the most part. You know, just major problems up front for Tech. You know, there were some good plays. I think it's clearly obvious that Virginia Tech is an outside rushing team. They got pretty much all those big plays in the running game outside the tackles. You know, Brandon Orr had a 20-yard run on a toss sweep. Kenny Lewis's junior's runs came to the outside for the most part. And I think it's clear that, you know, Tech, you know, they shouldn't abandon the inside rushing game, because, you know, you can't do that. You can't be a one-dimensional running team. But they should, you know, their focus should be the outside running game right now.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Grill. Excellent point, but here's the problem with that, Chris. Usually when you're that good outside, it's not a testament of your tackles. It's a testament of your running backs, who are strictly going on their God-given ability.
You're exactly right. Plus, it's also a testament to you having more speed than the 1-AA team you're playing.
Right.
You know, so that's not going to work, obviously, against the Florida States and the Miamis. But right now, you know, right now you just want to see Tech improve week to week. That's the main thing you want to see. So I do think against North Carolina you'll see more misdirection. Get back to that pistol formation they were running against Ohio and just go to more of a spread-type offense than they showed against William & Mary. Because I thought Tech, not only from a passing standpoint, was vanilla, I thought from a formation standpoint they were pretty vanilla against William & Mary also. You didn't see as much of that pistol stuff as you saw against Ohio. You knew you were going to win the game no matter what, so I think they saved a little bit.
But still in a sense where... And Coach Beamer came out earlier this week, said about this team being at the same position that they were last year from the running game standpoint. When you think about that, when you think about what happened with this team on Saturday and how they played, and let's face it, I mean, you could talk about a few of the good things, but they weren't supposed to just get 133 on Saturday. They weren't supposed to get, 3 yards a carry. They were supposed to get 4 or 5 a carry. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to pump up some serious numbers on Saturday. Do you buy the fact that this team is at the same place it was last year when Coach Beamer talks about it?
I don't think the offensive line is all that different, to be honest with you. Brandon Orr had a couple games early in the season last year against North Carolina. He ran for about 120 yards. He had a huge game against Cincinnati in the month of September. A lot of his big runs in those games, there was a guy coming into the backfield free, and, Orr would always make the first man miss, always find whatever little small hole there was after making that guy miss, and then go hit it. And we're just not seeing that from him this year. The offensive line, sad as it is, might be playing as well as they're capable of, and Orr is not for whatever reason. Brian Steinspring mentioned on the Hokie Hotline Monday night that not only does Orr have those banged up ribs that we knew about, Steinspring also said he had a sprained ankle, which we had not heard before. So, when you have a couple of injuries like that, it's clear that, you're not going to be 100%. You can't make the first man miss because you can't plan on that ankle. And with those ribs, you're hesitant to initiate contact.
It'll also explain the emergence of Kenny Lewis, who got more carries again on Saturday and saw a lot of action against Ohio when we knew about the bruised ribs. Kenny, we had on last segment, looking good. The thing about that puzzles me about Kenny is Kenny's finding holes, Chris, and Brandon's not finding those same holes. And granted, you mentioned the ribs and just the sore ankle maybe, but is it more of Kenny doing the extra, checking out the film, watching the film, and doing those type of things and making sure he's prepared where Brandon's not preparing himself?
I don't. That's a good question, and I'm not going to take a guess on that because I don't go to meetings or anything like that, and I'm not about to criticize Brandon Orr's work ethic. I will tell you that Kenny Lewis is a very hard worker. He comes from a really good family. You interviewed him earlier. He's a really nice guy. He'll put in the time. He'll put in the work. He's not a between-the-tackles runner, but I told you last week that I thought he was a very good fit for this current offense that Tech is trying to run with spreading the field, running the ball to the outside out of the shotgun and pistol formation. I think he's a very good fit for that offense, and I think that's we're seeing it. When they used him last year when Orr was hurt, it was run the ball up the middle, because Sean Glennon was your quarterback. You were a power-running team between the tackles, and that's how they used him last year. This year they're using him different, and I think that fits his strengths better.
Now, as far as Kenny is concerned, when you talk about last year, and yes, he went a lot on probably just on ability and playing catch-up last year and first year back from playing baseball. The offensive line, you say the play may not be much different, but there are different bodies here. McGrath's no longer here. He's no longer playing center. Do you think this line is as good as the one last year? Because if they're not, then I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. I mean, because you think about it, the right tackle was Brandon Fry last year, who missed time, correct? Mm-hmm. McGrath is different, where Ryan Schum is now the center. What's different? What's totally different from last year than this year, where we're not getting those 4.7 yards of carry that you got from Brandon Orr?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, Dwayne Brown was at right tackle last year, actually. He switched up. And they tried that in the past. They actually tried last year switching Brown to left tackle and Fry to right tackle, but neither guy felt comfortable at his new position, so they moved Brown back to right tackle. And this year he pretty much has to play left tackle because, there's nobody else that's capable of manning that spot to protect your quarterback's blind side. He might not be as totally comfortable on the left side as he admitted last year when they tried him there. You've got Nick Marshman, who's a natural guard, obviously, playing right tackle. He's just not good in space. You can't get around that fact. They put him there because he's the only guy that has experience in a game playing tackle for Tech besides Dwayne Brown. But, you know, experience will only take you so far if you can't move. You got Richard Graham, who is actually more of a fit at tackle than guard. And, you know, I think if they had it to do over again and they knew that Tyrod Taylor was going to be their quarterback and they were going to be running the ball sideline to sideline, relying on speed, I think they might have left Graham at tackle and left Marshman at left guard. That gets you a little more inside power running ability behind Marshman and gets you a little more mobility out on the edge with Graham. That said, at this point, I think it's a little bit too late to make that switch because both guys are, you know, trying to adjust to their new positions. Plus, you get Ed Wang back in a few weeks. So, you know, I think that's a factor. And you know, with Richard Graham, he's a guy that, you know, if he hadn't come to Tech, he would have been in the Ivy League. You know, let's go ahead and say that, you know, flat out, that for basically any other top 25 team, he would not be starting. At best, he would be in the two deep, and he would be a utility man, which is how Tech would like to use him, but they don't have that luxury.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, joined by Chris Coleman at TechSidelines.com, and you mentioned Ed Wang. He should be back for the Duke game. That's the word, which would be good because you'll get some more quality play, and you'll be able to put people where they actually belong, as you mentioned. Even with that said, and we could sit here and talk about the offensive line from now until the cows, you know, come home, but it's not going to change until you add more bodies. Getting Ed will actually help things, but you still need to get that cohesiveness that you may not get in eight games.
You're exactly right, and, you know, Ed Wang coming back, you know, if he can get back in football shape and start at right tackle, if they can move Marshman back to left guard where he belongs, that's all well and good. You've got everybody in the right position, but you've set your gelling point back to November, you know, at best, when you know, now Marshman's got to get used to playing between Dwayne Brown and Ryan Schumann, which wouldn't be a big deal if this was a man-blocking team, but Tech right now is primarily zone-blocking. So you've got to know what that guy next to you is doing. So from that standpoint, Wang coming back could set that gelling point back until later this season.
All right, Len Martez here with you, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. And, Chris, I think that's about it we got for today. But you'll be back on Friday. We'll break down the Tar Heels coming to Blacksburg. A lot of freshmen on that team. A lot of freshmen on that Tar Heels team.
A lot of freshmen, a lot of talent, too.
Yeah, we'll see if things change as far as the offensive line is concerned. And trust me, from a talk show host, it's nice to talk about. It's nice to have something to talk about. But I'd much rather talk about wins. I'd much rather talk about getting this team where it's supposed to get to. And over the next 8 weeks, hopefully we can get there.
Definitely. You know, I think, you know, if one thing Tech fans should realize is that early in the season, you can't use September as a judging point for late season. So hopefully the Hokies can get better.
All right, Mr. Coleman, we'll talk on Friday, brother.
Sounds good.
Thanks for your time, man.
Not a problem.
Len Martez here with you. Chris Coleman out the door. One more segment for me on this Wednesday afternoon. Champs Wednesday's on the show. We got to take a short time out. We'll be right back on ESPN 1430.